Welcome to Beach Corner Church's Sunday morning service.
If there's a believer in Christ here today that's struggling with surrendering to you because of hurts or because of strife that has come into their life that has caused them to be frustrated with you or hurt or any kind of scenario that they may be in where they're timid, they're afraid to say, "Have your way, Lord." I pray that you would set them free, Lord, so that they can say it. Have your way with us, Lord. May you be glorified in us. In the body of Christ here in Beach Corner Church, may you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, it's so good to be back. Welcome to Beach Corner Church this morning. If you're new here, we're so glad that you joined us this morning. It's so good to be back after summertime. Many of us have gone on vacations, so we've been away a number of Sundays. It's just good to be back. Good to be back into the routine of things. It's good to have your pastor back bringing the messages, not all these guest speakers, although they were wonderful guest speakers. We had some pretty amazing things that took place over the summer. Our Peru trip, Heather's trip to Africa, having Orban come and speak, having the Wayhills, Andy Wayhill come and speak. It's been a blessing, but it is good to be back, to get back into the routine of things, back to the start. It's the beginning of a new ministry year. It's often difficult to work in church because you don't consider January to December a year. You consider September to June kind of a year. That you follow the school calendar, not necessarily the real calendar. But it's great to be back to the start. It's great to be here on Rally Sunday. We're all together. It's the beginning of this ministry year. It's another year where we're called to lead people to passionately follow Jesus Christ. Amen? So exciting. I'm sorry. I've been looking forward to this sermon all week, so I might run over my notes at times and have to backtrack because I am excited to be back. I'm excited to talk about what I'm going to talk about today. It's another year where we get to live out the great commission that Jesus commanded his disciples. Go, therefore, Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And the greatest promise, I love this promise at the end, do this and do it knowing, lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. That Christ is with us as we go. This is the great commission he's called us to. No matter how great or how small an act of serving going in this commission is, no matter how great or small the area of service is, we are called as the body of Christ to go. We're called to work. We're called to serve because we are in Christ and he has purposes and plans for us. And we're called to do it in a variety of different ways, with a variety of different gifts and talents. Whether it's here in our own community or on the other side of the world, we gotta go. We just gotta go. I've heard it said that there are no bench warmers in the church. And I used to strongly believe that. But then I realized that there are times when believers in Christ need to get subbed out of the game. Sometimes there are points in our lives, in our walk with God, where we have said, "Have your way, Lord. Here I am." And we jump into ministry, and for one reason or another, whatever it might be, maybe we've been hurt when we're ministering, maybe we've been hurt by another church, maybe it's family issues that are going on, there's family strife, maybe there's loss happening, but there's a moment where we have to be subbed out. And someone else has to come out and play the game. Because God knows that there's a need sometimes for us to rest, for the part of the body of Christ to heal. But when the Holy Spirit, the coach himself, gives perfect direction and perfect leading and says to us, go, we got to go. I remember being on that basketball team and just getting off after, like, it seemed hours and hours of going back and forth, back and forth. And I wasn't in any shape to go back and forth, back and forth, and say, please, sub me out, sub me out. And then coming on the bench, and then getting my break, getting my water, taking a breather. And then the coach looked at me and go, okay, Chris, out again. There's a time where we're called to be subbed out. And then the Holy Spirit says, all right, it's time. It's time to get back in. And we got to obey. We got to go. Now, I have to confess this morning that it was my full intention to continue on with my Romans series, The Reason for the Hope that We Have in Christ. And I'm still going to continue with that Romans series. We're not done yet, church. But I was so led to speak this morning about something different. I was so led to talk about going. And I've had people say to me, well, of course, it's Rally Sunday, you were talking about going. But I wasn't sure if that's where I was supposed to go. I just kind of wanted to continue on with what we were doing. But I was so led by the Spirit of God, you got to talk about going this morning. And it's from the perspective of aspiring to do the will of God in our lives. Having that desire in our hearts to do God's will in our lives. And I want to talk about us having hopes, ambitions about doing God's purposes and His plans, that they are taking place in our lives, that we're not pushing them aside. We're not saying no to God when He says, but I have a plan and a purpose for you. I have a work that I'm calling you to do. I want us to look at how He wants to see His will done in our lives. And I want to talk about, if we do His will, why are we doing it? What is directing us to do that? And if we are directed to do His will, how does it happen? How does His will get accomplished in our lives? And I want to start by talking about aspirations. I'm going to talk about three different things. We're going to talk about aspirations, where we desire to serve God for His glory. I want to talk about calling, where we are called to serve God for His glory. And I want to talk about gifted, that we're gifted and equipped to serve God for His glory. The whole church. But I want to start with aspirations. So if you'd turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3, it's just a short little verse, but those that were at the prayer meeting on Tuesday night know that it hit me this week. It just stuck with me. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 says this. It is a trustworthy statement if any man aspires to the office of overseer. It is a fine work he desires to do. Pretty simple. But it talks about a man aspiring to do God's work in the church, and how that desire to do God's work is a desire to do something very good. And of course it's very good. Because to be an overseer in the church is to do God's work, and God's work is perfect work. It may not always feel perfect, and as we act out God's will in doing His work, it may not always look and seem, you know, have that appearance of perfection, but if God's calling us to it, it is His perfect will. It is good for a man to have the desire to be that role of overseer. In fact, I want to expand on that. I understand that this is focused on elders in 1 Timothy. But I believe that it is good for anyone to aspire to serve the Lord in any way in the church, because the work they're aspiring to do, the work they desire to do, is good because it's God's work. And we all aspire for something. I remember in high school, I had aspirations. I wanted to be a rock star. That's what I wanted to be. I had the hair nailed down. It was almost halfway down the back when my mom let me use her straightener, because I was a mess of curls. I had the shirt ripped sleeves off, you know, the band that I was into at the time on there, black, you know, t-shirt with the band on it, ripped sleeves. I had the jeans that were ripped just like Def Leppard jeans were at the time. I wanted to be that rock star. Like, I remember literally watching concerts of these bands and then going to the mirror, just like they show in the movies, and like pretending, you know, got the hairbrush or the blow dryer, whatever you got, and I'm trying to enact all these things. And then eventually I was in a band, so we had band gear at the house. So after band rehearsal, of course, the guys go, well, I still got lots of time to flip this mic stand around, you know, and do it. I literally had aspirations to be a rock star. It's actually in my yearbook. It's my statement, what I want to be. However, the statement in my yearbook is quite different than the statement I would have made in grade 9. Because the statement in grade 9 that I would have made about being a rock star is, I want to be a rock star, and I want all of what rock stars get. I want the sex, I want the drugs, I want the rock and roll. Now, granted, I didn't want the drugs because I grew up in a substance abuse family setting, and I didn't want that. But I didn't know Christ. All I knew is myself, and I wanted the sex, and I wanted the rock and roll. But then I met Christ. I met Jesus and I recognized that he loved me and he gave up his life for me. And all the time that I had spent worrying about whether I would ever be good enough, knowing I was not good enough, all of a sudden I realized he was good enough for me and he paid the penalty for me. And I put my trust in him and all of a sudden my aspirations changed. They were different. So that the yearbook statement in my high school yearbook is, I want to be a musician for Jesus. I want to go and sing and make music for him. See, when you come to Christ, your aspirations change. The desires in our hearts as believers change from worldly desires to his desires. In fact, it says in Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, that doesn't mean that he's going to give us our desires, our human desires, because our human desires are not pure. They're not right. What it means is that if we delight ourselves in him, something changes inside of us, and he implants his desires into our lives. Where all of a sudden, our heart's desire no longer is to want that worldly superstar rock musician position in the world. It's, I want to be down here, Lord, and I want to see you up here. Let me be low and let you be lifted high in my life. That when we come to Christ and we are believers in Christ, our hopes and ambitions change from what they used to be because they're directed towards what he wants, what he desires in our life. And if we delight ourselves in the Lord, then we're going to have his desires in the forefront. His plans are going to be on our mind. So if you do delight in the Lord, if that's something that you're experiencing, then there must be this desire in you to serve him. Amen? Can anyone resonate with that? Absolutely. My question for you is, over the summer, has God been stirring that up in you? You know, sometimes the summer does strange things, especially if you get to go on vacation. It gives you a whole different perspective on life. It's like you're not caught in the rush anymore and you start thinking different things. Has God got a hold of your heart during that time in the summer, and he's stirring up these aspirations for serving him for his glory? Brought you to the mindset of thinking about something that you never thought of before because it's the Holy Spirit leading? This morning, I want to encourage you that if God is tugging on your heart in that way, and he's putting a new desire in your heart to serve him in a way that he's calling you to, this morning I want to encourage you to step out in faith and be obedient to him in that. Because if we're followers of Christ and we delight in the Lord, there's a desire in us to serve him for his glory. And it's because we are called to serve. Ultimately, that is a truth for believers. We are called to serve. And there's two types of callings. The first calling is when God calls us to himself. And you've heard me say this before, that God is relentlessly pursuing us. He's knocking on the door of our hearts. He's drawing us to himself. Because no man seeks after God, for all men are evil. But God is drawing man to himself. And he's calling man to himself. Many of us in this room can testify to that because we remember hearing him calling to us, that moment that we gave our lives to him. But then there's a second call, and that call from God, and that second call is that he's calling us to do his work. He's calling us to do his purposes. And we've talked about in Romans chapter 8, 28, about that call, when it says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." Anyone who is in Christ is called according to his purpose. We first accepted that call that he first made in coming to him. But now there's work that he has for us, a call and a purpose he has for us. And we need to respond to that as well. We are called according to his purpose. Ephesians 4, chapter 1, Paul says, "Therefore I, Paul, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called." Paul recognizes that there is something that God has purposed for us to do that we are to step into. We're called to serve for his glory, that his glory may be revealed in what we are doing in obedience to him. Isn't that amazing? That as we walk in accordance of his will, he is being glorified in our lives. Have you ever had someone say to you, "What is different about you?" Has anyone ever said that to you before? "What is different about you?" Yeah? I've had a number of people share that testimony in a workplace, at school, just being a neighbor, coming over and saying, "What is it about you?" See, that's God being glorified in our lives. God is exemplifying himself in our lives. And that's our opportunity to then open our mouths. "Oh, let me tell you about Jesus." God wants to exemplify himself in us. And again, there's those two types of callings. That first calling is where he calls us to himself, where someone changes their mind about who God is, that Jesus is God, that he did die and was buried and rose from the grave. And he did that on behalf of our sins so that we would not have to do the work, but by the grace of God, we could be forgiven of our sin and we could be set free of the consequences of our sin and we could have eternal life in Jesus. But then there's that second, once your faith is in him, he calls us to serve. And he calls us to serve, and I haven't actually heard a lot of pastors other than the ones that you go and find online or on TV, talk about the accountability of serving God. But there's an accountability process in God's plan when it comes to serving him. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 3:8, it says, "Each will receive his own reward according to his own labor." There are rewards, and there are things that are received for those of us that work for the Lord. And this has nothing to do with salvation, because the scripture says that the foundation of Christ has already been laid, that we are already saved. But there's this accountability that if we begin to add upon the work of another, maybe we're watering the seeds that have already been planted in someone's life, or maybe we're planting the seeds in someone's life, or maybe we're tending to the ground that's been planted and weeding, which is the most boring thing in the world to do, is tend to weed, and at least I think it is. Maybe some of you green thumbs are like, I enjoy it. I love that. But there are rewards for those that do the work that God's called us to. There's an accountability program to us serving the Lord. In fact, it goes on in 1 Corinthians 3:10 to 15, according to the grace of God, which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building on it. Now, Paul is talking about this whole thing about how people are saying, I follow Paul and I follow Apollos. But then he applies it to the work that we do and the value of the work that we do. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So the foundation is laid. Salvation is secure. Now, if any man builds on a foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. Then Paul goes on to say, if any man's work, which he has built on it, remains, he will receive a reward. See, there's an accountability process to serving the Lord, to our call to serve Him. That if we invest in each other's lives, in our obedience to the call on our lives, individually, led by the Holy Spirit, that there in the end, at the judgment seat of Christ, when the fire is consuming all that has been done, there'll be precious stones and silver and gold. But if there is no value to the things that we've done, then it will be burned up. And Paul puts it this way, if any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Again, that guarantee, salvation is secure in Christ. But there is a reward system, there is an accountability system to serving Christ. And it's not to pressure us, church. It's to understand that God has a purpose and plan for us. And if we walk in His will, there are rewards for it, not only in heaven, but there's great joy in it here in serving Him. There's great excitement in walking in His will and His plan for our lives. But there's also reward for that in the kingdom. And it has nothing to do with salvation. It has to do with the work that God's laid out for us. Ephesians 2:10 says this, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Now I'm going to step out a little bit here in confidence and trust that this is where the Lord is leading me to go, because this ain't easy to say. But as stated before, there are no bench warmers in the church, right? And I don't believe that to be true. I do believe that there are times where God's people have to rest. There's just that time. I think one of those times, actually, to be honest with you, being a parent, it's very important for parents in the body of Christ to understand when their kids need to be discipled more than the church at that point in time in their lives. Because as a pastor, if I'm discipling the church more and shepherding the church more, and I'm not shepherding my own three boys, then I'm not doing what an elder is supposed to do, and that is manage the home as best I can. Okay? I think there's a very important need for parents to be discipling their kids. And that time might be when you need to be a bench warmer. But a pastor friend shared with me, just as we were leaving New Brunswick, and we were leaving New Brunswick because of hurt, and many of you have heard this story before, but we were leaving New Brunswick because of hurt, And a pastor friend who had been at that church, I think for about 4 years by that point, said to me as I was leaving, "Chris, do not say no to God when the healing is done. When you leave this place and you leave hurt, you need to stop for a while in the church because you need to heal and God needs to heal you. But when the Holy Spirit all of a sudden says to you, okay, the healing time is done, you now have to step in faith and be obedient to what God is calling you to do now," that pastor friend said, "I was not obedient to that. And I suffered because he hurt from a church in the past. And he stayed away and stayed away. And eventually the Holy Spirit said, it's time for you to get off this bench and get in the game." And he said, "No, I don't want to. It hurts too much. I might be hurt again." And the Holy Spirit is saying, "It's okay. It's okay. I've healed you of the things that are key. Get out. You'll be all right." And that's something very important that we need to understand, church. I've heard it said about this church, Beach Corner, that this church is a church of healing, that families come here because they're hurting from other places. We very much experienced that, and we found healing here. But there comes a point in our lives where when the Holy Spirit of God is saying, go, we got to get off that bench and go. And I have to say, church, I don't think there's any other way to say it, that if we say no to the Spirit of God, when the Spirit of God is God and has a perfect will and a perfect plan for us, and it's very clear, don't get me wrong, it's not man strong-arming people, it is very clear that it is the Spirit of God commanding us to go, that if we say no, we are acting in rebellion against God, and we are sinning. And God wants us to be obedient to Him. And that's a part of that accountability program. If we say no, and we rebel, and we're sinning, we're not going to have precious jewels and gold and silver for the work that we've done in investing in others and others investing in us. It's going to be wood, hay, and stubble, and it's just going to burn up. And we'll be saved, but it'll be as through fire. We are called as the church. And not only are we called, church, we're called to serve Him. He's already given the aspirations in our heart. He speaks to us. And we're called to do this, but He's equipped us to do it. He's given us all that we need to do it. In fact, I even said it in the very first scripture that I spoke of. "And I will be with you always to the very end of the age." If Christ is with us, who can be against us? He has equipped us to do His work with those giftings. Those giftings enable us to serve for His glory. And what's funny about giftings is, you know, a lot of people will say, and I've said this too, what is my gift? I don't even know what my gift is. If I'm gifted, well, what is it and how do I do it? I heard a really famous pastor once say, his name is Greg Laurie from Harvest Church. He says, if you want to know what your gift is, go out and do everything in the church until you figure out what your gift is. I thought that was awesome. Because he's like, I have no idea what your gift is. So go out and do it and see what your gift is. Because as we go out and start doing things for Christ, people are going to say, whoa, man, like you are gifted in that area of ministry. And if you're doing that and you're like, yeah, I think I am. I think I'm gifted. This is awesome. Chances are you're gifted in that area of ministry, okay? Now, there are many different gifts, too, that the Bible speaks about. But when we go and serve and try to seek out those gifts, people are going to speak into our lives. Buddy, I don't think you're gifted for this area of ministry. Maybe you need to move on. But not only that, there is something that I've experienced in serving the Lord in my gifting. And I can only speak to it from experience. So that's why I share about it for me. I remember working with the youth, and God gave me a heart for the youth and a passion for the youth and a passion to see them grow in their relationship with Christ. And I was a baker, so I'm working nights. And I also worked at a volunteer youth drop-in center as well. and it's YC weekend, and guaranteed I am not going to get any sleep before I come out of a working week with baking and going into a working week with baking. And I remember saying to Sharon, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. Like, I'm spent. I don't know how I'm going to manage this weekend. And I went to YC, and when I came home, I was like on fire for the Lord. I was like, this is the most amazing thing I've ever done with youth in my life. And I've been to YC before, guys, so it's not like it was the first time, but I recognized that I wasn't tired because I was walking in God's purposes and plans at the time. That was His will for me, and He knew I was tired. He knew I was spent, and He knew it'd be a long weekend. But He gave me everything I needed because I was walking in obedience to Him. And that's what God does. That's God's economy, His structure. That if we're walking in obedience to Him and in the giftings that He's given us, that we're going to see great things happen because God is using His gift to show His greatness to the world. And there's going to be joy in us, deep joy in us, that we're serving in the area in which we are gifted. As opposed to kind of that thing where it's like, oh, they need someone to kind of do that. Okay, well, I guess I do have a couple hours throughout the week. I guess I could fill in for that. Now, again, there's nothing wrong with that. I don't want to say that everybody's going to stay away from certain jobs in the church because they all feel they're gifted in another area, right? But sometimes we go and we think, okay, well, I think I could do that, and I could probably do a great job of it, and it's very clear we cannot do a good job of that, let alone a great job of that. And someone has to come alongside us and say, I think you're gifted somewhere else. And what's so amazing about God is that His grace to give us gifts is abundant. Because He doesn't just give us that one single gift. Every person I know that has done a gift assessment has said, well, I got this kind of high one, but there's several others around it. Well, absolutely. Because the Spirit of God is in you, you're going to have other areas in which God is going to grow you and mature you. But it's clear that this one's number one in your life. But what's crazy is we experience the grace of God through salvation, but now we receive even more grace by Him empowering us to do His work. It's abundant, this grace that He's got for us. It's amazing, His grace. And the author in Hebrews, he says, you know what? I pray that God continues to equip you in every good thing to do His will. And that author prays that because he knows God will do it. God has already given us the gifts to walk in His will, and He will continue to equip us to do His will. And if all are working together in their gifting, the body grows. That's something really important that, as I was preaching Ephesians, stood out to me huge. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 and 16 says this, and I'm really going to emphasize the stuff that I want to point out. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Those things stood out to me huge as the Apostle Paul is speaking to the Ephesians church. That every joint supplies, and they do it with the proper working that they're called to do. So God is calling the church, every person in the church, to work for His glory in the way that He's personally called us to do it. Personally equipped us to do it. You know, the eyeball can't pop out of the body and say, hey, I want to see the world, I'm going. Right? It has to say, okay, body, you got to come along with me. Right? And the body has to agree, and hey, they can have fun going and seeing the whole world. It's the same in the body of Christ. Like, individually, we can be successful in being obedient to the Lord and having ministry. But God doesn't want us just as individuals to do ministry. He wants us as the church to be the whole entire body, to not be one part of the body going out and saying, well, I'm going to go do this, so here I go. He wants the whole body to work together in what we are individually called to do together. We may go out, and that's normal, but he wants the body to work. It's the only way we're going to grow, church. That's what Paul is saying. That's how there is growth in the body, and I think that's how there's growth numerically. And I don't believe in numerical growth based off of how cool we are as a church. I believe in numerical growth based off of how much we glorify God. And as he's glorified, people are drawn into this place to see Christ. And that happens when we go out in our lives and glorify him in our lives. I hope that one day the walls are like literally creaking out like this because it's standing room only. And the fire marshal is walking down the door and saying, okay, I think it's time, guys. There's a building project, whatever you got planned, we need to do it now, or else you're all going to prison, right? That'll only take place, though, if the body works together. And God, in Christ, has given us an aspiration. There's something, there's a hope and ambition inside of us that's been planted by the Holy Spirit in us to do his will. And we've been called to this. It's his calling to serve him and to serve him so that he might be glorified. And he's equipped us. He's given us the gifts that we need to do that. And I want to be a part of what God is doing, don't you? Amen. I remember taking a training on evangelism, and that's what the speaker talked about. He says, you know what? I don't try and force my way into a situation. I look to see where God is working, and I go. And I see God working here and in our community and in our workplaces and in the schools that we're at and in our neighborhoods, because it's not just Beach Corner area. Of course, there's Spruce Grove, there's Stony Plain, there's Spring Lake, there's possibly Wabamun someday. That vision's been planted in our minds. We want to be a part of what God's doing. Because God is doing something here. And God is doing something in us. And again, perhaps there's this desire that God has stirred in your heart over the summer. Or maybe it's been years that he's been stirring up this desire. And it's today. It's this message that you know. It's one of those things where God says, okay, see what's going on today? Now the door is opening up. Now it's your time. If God has spoken to you about serving, where is it? Where is it that he's calling you? What's your gift that you have that he wants to use for his glory? Now, it is our desire as a church to lead people to passionately follow Christ. And in doing that, we want to help you as a church to know the areas in which you can serve. And I want to challenge you this morning. There is a sheet under every seat in front of you. That sheet shows you all the ministry areas in our church, all the ministry teams that are part of our structure as a church. And it talks about all the aspects that that team covers. Now, many of us that have attended this church know that Kyle, for example, Pastor Kyle, has transitioned roles from a huge administrative role to now being a youth pastor, and we've kind of dropped a staff member. So there are a number of missing areas in which we need help as a church. And I'm not here to use this sermon to strong arm anyone, because I believe firmly in the Holy Spirit's leading. And I feel that the Holy Spirit led me to prepare this week specifically for this, trusting that he is going to be faithful. There's someone here that's got a stirring in their heart and can check a box on that sheet saying, you know what, that's an area in which I would love to serve. And if that's you, I would invite you to check off one of those teams in which you feel you're gifted to serve in, and let us know if that's what you would like to do. Because we would love to have you be a part of what's going on here. Now, many of you are already a part of it.
But many of you might be sitting back going, I have gifts, but I don't know where to use them. Hopefully this helps you out. But again, there might be you that are saying, I don't even know what my gifts are. Now again, I've already laid out the 5-point plan that you can use for that. Go do everything first, and then, yeah, you know the rest. But if you don't want to do that, if you're a little timid, at the info booth, there are spiritual gifts surveys that you can do. And you can take that, and it'll show you the scriptures and all the different gifts that the scripture talks about that people might have, and you can fill that out. And we would love to help you discover what gifts you have and help you to use them for God's glory and for His kingdom. Now, granted, that sheet is for our church, but there may be things that we've missed. There may be things that God's calling you to, weighing heavy on your heart, but it's not an area that we've thought of before in our church. And we want to hear about that. We can't do everything in this church based off of the numbers we have, but what we can do right now is the things that we're doing right now. We can do them great if we allow God to call us to use our gifts for His glory. We can see God do some pretty amazing things. But maybe you have something that you want encouragement for that's outside of here, somewhere around the world or somewhere in another community, and you want us to pray for you and help you to grow in that. We want to help you in serving any way we can. Because again, our goal is to help the body of Christ here passionately follow Jesus. So take an opportunity to look at that after the service. I'm going to invite the worship team up. And Ellen, I'm going to ask you, could you please play that song that you played last? Here I am, arms open wide. Yeah, arms open wide. If you do fill out that sheet, there's a basket at the info booth that you can drop that sheet off in so that we can kind of contact you and help you along with where you can serve. Again, I encourage you to fill in the gifts assessment if you want, and then talk to us about it so we can help you in that area. But there's one thing else that I want to talk about as you leave, and that's what I kind of hinted to about God calling us to Him. And I don't know if there's anyone here this morning that hasn't come to Christ. They're here because they attend church with maybe a friend, or they're here because of family, but they don't really believe in God, and they don't really accept that. I just want to let you know that today is yet another day when God is knocking on the door of your heart, trying to tell you that He loves you so much that He gave His life on your behalf. And there is something that separates us from God, and that is our sin. And there's nothing we can do about it. And if you're here today and you want to be made right with God, you want a relationship with Him where He places strong desires in your heart to do His work, which is eternal and is good and is full of love and full of joy and full of peace, I encourage you, all you have to do is put your faith in Him today. I trust that Jesus is who He says He is. He is God. And I surrender my life to Him. That's what it takes. Let's pray together this morning. Lord God, I am just so thankful that Your overwhelming love for us does not end at the cross, that does not end at setting the captives free, but Your love is consistent. That when You call us into a relationship with You, it is daily intimacy with You. It is daily experiencing a walk with You where we're getting closer and closer to eternity, face to face with You, but You're speaking into our lives and helping us to experience true joy and true peace and true love and true hope. And that one way we can do that is by serving You, walking in the call that You've called us to. And I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here that feels that call in their life, that they would willingly surrender. Here I am, arms open wide. Lord, take me. Have Your way, Lord. And if there's someone here that needs to know Jesus, and this is the Sunday in which You are opening up the eyes of their hearts to you. I pray that they would receive you as their Lord and Savior today, and that they wouldn't be afraid to share that with someone, a friend or myself or another person here in the church, so that we know and we can pray for them and encourage them in their walk with you. Lord, may you be glorified in our lives, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon from Beach Corner Church. May it be an encouragement for you to passionately follow Christ. God bless.